Washington, D.C. That's Thievery Corporation with Numbers Game featuring Chuck Brown. It's from their 2008 album, Radio Retaliation. Thievery Corporation is a collective of multi-genre recording artists and DJs who are deep into message music. Chuck Brown, who died in 2012 at the age of 75, was the acknowledged and undisputed godfather of go-go music. It's an offshoot of funk. He was a legend in Washington, D.C. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and Chuck's right, it's a numbers game. The dice are loaded, so you've got to be on point. It's been a merciful end to the so-called debates, the dog and pony shows that had been scheduled over the past several months. They will come to an end tonight with the Republicans meeting in Miami after that contentious Clinton-Sanders square-off in Miami last night. It was their fourth matchup as the remaining Democratic presidential candidates, and it brought to a close, hopefully, this just long list, never-ending list of televised Q&A sessions that they insist on calling debates. A four-way bruiser among the Republican candidates is scheduled tonight, among Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich, the last men standing in the Republican Party, and it will be the party's 12th and final so-called debate for the primary season. Well, it was interesting watching Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders squaring off last night, and it just reinforced all of the issues and observations that we have been making all along. It's party politics. But here is the task today. Based on the events that we have been talking about, the primaries held so far, the candidates themselves and what they have had to say and not say, how have these things shaped your opinions so far about the political process? We keep doing this as, you know, we, from time to time, we measure, we calibrate ourselves. We figure how we are doing at different points. This is one of the checkpoints. How have things so far affected your thoughts about the political process, whatever you see it as? The 2016 presidential election, the direction of the country generally, your individual choices, and, of course, your political consciousness and actions. How have these things been shaped by what we have been witnessing over the past several months? That's the topic of discussion today, and I thought I would do this specific to the election today, because tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, and I can't dictate what you should talk about tomorrow. So tomorrow is a freewheeling day, and you are driving the so-called proverbial bus. But today, let's talk about politics and this election, what you have noticed, what you have come to conclude, and where you are so far. Of course, things are going to further evolve as the duopoly would be edging toward their respective conventions, and these would be the nominating conventions. But we have noticed quite a lot. We have talked about quite a lot pertinent to both the parties and the candidates, and I thought we would kind of get a sense of where people are. Where are you in the scheme of things in this election? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get that discussion added to in our continuing discussion about these politics that we are witnessing here. I don't know if you were able to see the debate, the so-called debate last night. I watched it. and it was quite interesting, a very different tone. It was hosted by the Washington Post and Univision, the largest Spanish-speaking oriented news medium and entertainment medium in the hemisphere, really, and quite a different tone, journalistic tone, quite a different anticipation from the audience, a very different aura there, from that prevailed with the Republicans, and pointed questioning, I would say too, and if I had to come to conclusions about what went on last night, I would say definitely it shored up the discussion that we've been having about Hillary Clinton. She is really not a very desirable candidate, and the party should be very, very concerned about having Hillary Clinton as the front runner, let alone what we'll be talking about today, I'm sure, the arrangements already made to have her emerge as the standard bearer for the party. But to his credit, Bernie Sanders did very, very well, and he conveyed his essential points. But there were some very interesting things in light of just yesterday's discussion about race and the reluctance of dealing with it in a particular way. I mean, this was Miami, and yes, it was a debate. I hate using that word. It was a Q&A session largely directed at the Latino community, and so it was quite successful. But you couldn't help but raise a question. I mean, why are we always insisting that race is not an issue, and then it is an issue? We say the politicians themselves are walking contradictions of the whole thing. We are a colorblind society, except everybody knows that in the election cycle, you got to, you know, appeal to these disparate groups. And very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. What do you think about the presidential race so far? What do you think about the candidates? What do you think about the process? And how are you feeling about the choices that you will or will not make this election year? I'd like to find out what you're thinking, where you are in the scheme of things with this particular set of questions. The reason being that we obviously can change our minds from time to time based on information that is made available to us. We make sense of our universe on that basis. And enough has unfolded, I would think, to give us a sense of what this whole thing is about and what it should mean to, quote, the American people, unquote. What is it meaning to you? How is it shaping your view of this political process? What do you particularly find objectionable? What do you particularly find that is very positive about the process? What do you think you will likely do come November in the general election? How do your choices reflect what you have come to know? This is the task today. So I leave the floor open to you at 888-874-4888. And we will begin this discussion the minute I see somebody there on cue. Okay, so the attitude that I'm getting generally from the parties is that really this, well, we talked about this being party business. This is a Democratic Party and the Republican Party engaging in party business. although we are inclined to believe and are persuaded to believe, that we have a vested interest in the outcome here and our will somehow is being respected. But actually, what this is the qualifying race between the Republicans and the Democrats as to who will emerge as the nominee of the respective parties to do mortal combat in November. And that's what we need to understand. First of all, this is party business. In most cases, you have to be a registered member of the party to participate in the respective primaries. So when the Republicans have a primary, the Republicans vote. When the Democrats have a primary, the Democrats vote. They're also what are called open primaries. That is, these are elections or primary contests in which party designation is not the important thing. You can participate irrespective of your party designation. But there's a whole, I mean, just a I don't know what the word is, but it's a whole library of rules, party rules that affect how people win. It's a delegate system. Some delegates are awarded because by virtue of the candidate winning a particular state, and that is automatic. Some delegates are awarded on a proportional basis. That's with the Democrats. They have a proportional awarding of delegates. And then we have a new breed, a recently created new breed of delegate called the super delegate. These tend to be officials, public officials, elected officials, affiliated with the Democratic Party, who are not necessarily going to go along with the program as the rest of the delegates. And this is the group that everybody's looking to decide the final outcome. This is a question about whether this is a democratic process or is this in fact an undermining of the democratic process. But you will tell me what you're thinking. Let's start with Nat from New York City. Hello, Nat. You're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice Lees. You sound wonderful, and I do pray for you every day that your health gets better and better and better.
So I'm thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see that you're doing well and sounding well. And about the, because I've got the nerve to call because I'm usually very, very nervous, you know. So I was listening to a program yesterday on the internet, not the internet, but on one of the cable shows that come on every Wednesday. And the host of the show was saying, I'm a Hillary person. I'm going to vote for Hillary, blah, blah, blah. So the co-host said, yeah, but Hillary got a lot of baggage on her. She lies a lot. And plus, when her and her husband was in Arkansas and he was the governor, into this cocaine thing, you know. So the host said, huh, yeah. Said, yeah, you can check that out, you know. You can do research on that. But all the things he told the host about Hillary not being a fit person to be the president, he was still intent on voting for Hillary. So, cause I've told people many different things about Hillary, why she wouldn't be a good person to be president because of a lying and getting Goldman Sachs, paid her $2.9 million for 12 speeches. And she took part in Afghanistan and the overthrows of those governments of Syria, Libya, Honduras, you know. So I think a lot of these people are stuck on Hillary, and it's because of her husband, you know, Bill Clinton, you know, the first black president, and all this mess. So I think it's going to be like fighting a battle uphill to get people to change from Hillary to Bernie Sanders. You know, he'll be better than Hillary. Of course, I have problems with both of them. Bernie Sanders too, I have problems with. You know, so I feel that when I go to vote, I'm going to vote for Dr. Jill Stein. Because when people go on her website and read what she is about, I think that's what most people would want. And that's why these two corrupt parties don't want people like that, like Rocky Anderson, to come in there and voice their opinions. Because this is what most people would want.
Well, thank you for getting us started today. I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate your good wishes as well and your prayers. Thank you so much.
I will continue.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful day with good health.
Thank you. Eric from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello, sir.
And Pierre and our audience. I haven't called in a while, but I wanted to talk about Donald Trump and what Jay a few shows back was talking about and the interest in Donald Trump. I think that Trump is a reflection of America. And it's kind of like when you you don't want to look in the mirror. You don't want to see Donald Trump, you know, looking back at you, you know. And this is right now as we speak, we have a president who's so-called Democrat who's killing people preventatively. You have a president who's deporting record numbers of immigrants, you know, usually Latino and Black, African, Haitian. You have a president who's locking up children along with their mothers and fathers in jails as we speak. So, I mean, what, you know, fracking, all of these things to degrade the earth, what could Trump do that would be so much worse than that? You know, targeting all of these people for slaughter all across the world, Somalia is the recent one, Yemen. So when you're afraid of someone like Trump, you're afraid of actually coming to the realization that this is what you are, this is what you do, this is what you support. Now, when you have someone who is willing to tell you what they're actually doing, then you have to confront your own morals. What do you want to do about it? Do you want to continue this nonsense? Do you want to continue destroying your own, you know, future? And
but
I think this
Eric,
is what people are wrestling
though,
with.
Yeah. What in this process... Mm-hmm. that has revealed itself to you is perhaps the most telling thing to you about the political process so far?
Well, for me, the idea that Trump is being rejected, that shows me that the two, I mean, obviously, I think we most of us agree that who are paying attention that the two parties are aligned. They want to do the same things. It's kind of like a relay race. You know, they're just handing out the baton to their, you know, their section or their side. But ultimately, they wear the same uniforms, you know, and it's a friendly thing. So ultimately,
I'm so sorry, but the way you put it, it's very funny. Go ahead.
Yeah, ultimately, whoever gets the position, they congratulate each other and they get back to the nonsense, you know? So this thing, Trump, is so arrogant and pompous that he won't hand a baton. You know, he wants to keep it. You know, and this is what they're having to deal with now. You have a person who wants to be selfish and wants all the glory for himself. And he's not willing to let anyone get in front of him, you know, and pass it on. So now we're the people who are afraid of Trump are faced with, I mean, do you want to continue to be willfully ignorant? Because as much information as we all have access to, it's unbelievable that we're faced with this, you know, selection. I mean, just criminals and failures. You know what I mean?
So what is your political choice that you're making this year? So far,
oh, none.
Where are you in the scheme of things?
Absolutely none. I'm rejecting all of it. And, you know, my suggestion, I don't think this stuff is going to change. I think people are too afraid to actually make a real decision. So My solution, or what I would offer, is that people start teaching their kids and their, you know, the younger people, stop providing your services for these people. You know, stop going to college to become one of the cogs in their wheels as financial swindlers or as, you know, the enforcers in the army. I mean, which one of these people don't have a brain enough to realize what they're actually doing? Has nothing to do with justice, has nothing to do with keeping America safe. Which one of these people in the army don't know that their own soldiers, their own, you know, comrades are killing themselves because they can't stand what they're doing? So why do you keep doing it? You know, so I would recommend that people start being forceful and telling each other and telling the people who, you know, the younger people, the stronger people who are carrying through the plans of these, you know, the insane leaders, you know? That's all I can see, because I don't think that people are courageous enough to change what they've been doing.
Thank you very much, Eric, for your call today and for contributing.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. 888-874-4888. Where are you in the scheme of things is the question. From Westchester, Nasheed, could you answer that question?
Hello.
Hello, Nasheed.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Oh, good. It's all a forest, really, because we're you've hit it on the nose so many times. We haven't made any progress. We don't know who we are in that sense. So we're not making any progress. And these people are playing the game, and like you said, Jesse and all of them, they've sold the people out, period. So that's all I can say about it. I mean, we have to regalvanize. They've killed off everybody from Malcolm, Martin, the Clark brother in Chicago, and Negro Evers, you name it. They've killed anybody who's going to stand up against this. He's on the chopping block. So that's it. And our people just don't know what the heck's going on. And like we went through a thing there, the people are stone Democrats. They don't know anything about the woman, but they just Democrats. And they think what they're doing is revolutionary. That's up here, and if you come and look at Westchester, you just look at what we call bourgeoisie African Americans. They're not thinking about their brothers or any other human being. They're just thinking about the materialistic sense of things, and that's all that's all I have to say. We've just been sold down the river by these guys, and that's all I can say. Take care. Thank you,
Nasheed. Before you go, what would you say is the most significant thing that this process, this whole primary process, has revealed to you about politics in the United States?
Yeah, if they really don't know what the people that they're going to, if Hillary supports Israel and Bernie supports Israel. Where's any move? That is a real thorn in the side for humanity, because these are places that are these are important places in world history, but to know the real thing that nobody really was in it. I mean, I went to school. They never talked about this thing. You went to school. You went to history books. They never talked about it. And they've talked about Israel. Does it really have a place in the world? They never even talk about their own selves, because they're occupying somebody else's land. We're on an occupied property right now that belongs to the nations of the people who are the Indians. So this is where, and they can't even bring that up. If you bring up a topic that with our fellow human beings who are here, they can't deal with it. They cannot deal with the truth. They can't deal with the truth about us. So what's the deal? That's all I can say.
Thank you so much, Nasheed, for your call today and for participating. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, you two. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, Ali. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry, my professor. I forgot to tell you that.
Well, how do you assess the situation? What is the state of American politics as has been revealed so far in this process, this 2016 presidential election? And what is it impelling you to do?
Okay, I would love to be in Europe, because those Europeans, every time that I see them on RT and some of those other channels, they must be dying laughing all the time. Because when you go to Europe and you talk about politics, you find a lot of these Europeans who say, the Americans, they're so dumb. And every time that you look at this at TV and then you see this so-called debate, and you see both of them. It's not only one. Of course, one is more colorful than the other. That, you know, we do have to admit that. There's one that when you start watching it, you can't stop laughing, because it just like all those clowns, all those four clowns, one funnier than the other. But I do have to say something about Trump. You see, Utrice, one of the things about Trump is that Trump being racist, he just comes out and he said it. And that is why we are debating, oh, this guy is so racist. And even me, I had a sign on Friday that actually described Trump about being racist and all this other thing. But at least he comes out and he tells you. You see, and then you take, for example, Mrs. Clinton, okay? The queen of politics. She's the queen of politics here. We go to other country, and then we take Obama, too. And I'm right now, instead of Clinton, I just wanted to say something about Obama. We go to other country. We use drums. And what do we use drums for? And as a matter of fact, we use drums for to kill brown people and black people. I just heard this morning that our military went into Africa, and they use, of course, the helicopter and everything, and they call about 150 so-called terrorists, militias. This is what are we doing, okay? And going back to Obama, he's deporting more people than any other president. And who are the majority of the people? I guess 99.5% brown and black people, okay? So and then we go to what the cops are doing in this country, especially here. I don't know if you are aware that Risha Hester, the one who killed Ramali Graham, I don't know if you heard the news.
Yes.
Nothing's going to happen to him. The guy broke the door, and he ran, and he killed this child. Okay? So what you're seeing here is that these people they are, in a way, racist. And they do it in different form and in different way they show it. Going to all this country, brown country in the Middle East, and attacking this country. But we don't call him Obama, and we don't call him Hillary Clinton a racist, because they do it in a different way. Look at what Mr. Clinton did with the reforms that he did to welfare, and also mass incarceration and this other thing. So, but Trump, it comes out and he tells us, this is what I am. And his people, because the majority of the people, I mean, all the people that you see on this rally that he's holding, they're people that have said, we don't have those white cap on our faces, because this is who we are. And you are right. Everything that is happening in this country, it's not about class, it's about race first. Because the first thing, a colorblind, the first thing that somebody sees about me is not with my accent when I go out there, is how I look. That's the first thing that somebody will see about me. So it's about racism. Look what is happening here. How can I concentrate on this national election when right now in New York City they're rezoning? And rezoning is another word that they use for gentrification. So here we are, we have to go out on the street to fight this rezoning. And then we have to concentrate on these fools that they're supposed to be running. And even Bernie, because if you hear some of the thing about Bernie when it comes to Israel and the support that he gives to Israel, it just turns you completely off. I know these young people, like my son, yeah, they wanted to vote for Bernie because, you know what, they wanted to get full again like they did with Obama. My son was so excited about it, and now he realized what a big mistake he did when he voted the second time for Obama. But this is what is happening. These people, it comes down that the first thing that Bernie will see about me is my color of my skin. Not that I'm a woman. The first thing it will be me as a woman of color. So I just wanted to say, how can we concentrate here in New York City where there's so many homeless people out there? We have to go out on the street and fight what is happening, especially with this, like some people say, with these Negroes that belong in the city council, that they're fighting against us. I just wanted to say that to you because how can we concentrate on this election? Yes, I'm not going out there to vote for any of these fools. I'm going to let somebody do it for me. And they think that they're picking the president. Yeah, the super delegate. Yeah, I'm a super delegate. I'm a super woman that I'm going to be out on the street tomorrow at 2 p.m. in front of Melissa Mark Verurito fighting this rezoning that she presented to her people as a different rezoning than the mayor. This is what we have to do. This is what we have to go out on the street. And this is what we should be doing is, and forget about this general election that all these people, that's the only thing that they talk about all the time. Thank you, Utrice.
Thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Detroit. Jean, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hello.
I'm glad you're doing well. And hello to the audience.
Thank you so much for that.
And I want to cut down the volume here on the computer. Okay. I'm very nervous in talking in public, but I do have something to say, so I'm going to go ahead. I think we're missing the overall picture here. This whole system is committing suicide. And we're looking at the last desperate attempts to maintain it. But as they get more desperate, they're committing more suicide. And the reason why I say that is you only have to look at when Scalia died. There was a panic amongst the elites because the enforcer was gone. There's a panic amongst the political parties because having superdelegates is a desperate act. And you can look up on the internet who the superdelegates are, and more than half of them belong to the DNC.
As a Democratic now, National Committee.
Yes. And many are elected officials. What is the approval rating of the Congress? It's like 8%. Desperate. I'm saying desperate. I think there is several movements out there. We're not going to see we don't need to see a violent revolution. We don't need to see the kind of thing where people get their heads bashed and put in jail, because it's coming. And it's coming because they're committing suicide and because we do have movements in place. Now, the greedy few that were put into power, the corporations and elected officials, it's a very desperate act to have a TPP where they want control over the world. But the world already knows what it's like to be controlled. And they're trying to do it here, too.
So, Jean,
naturally,
this process, what has it revealed to you as being extremely important to keep in mind? And how is it shaping your political attitude?
Well, for one thing, for many years, I've tried to, I guess I believed in reformism. And I thought, well, let's go to the superdelegates and tell them, you know, they better not throw this election because both Republicans and Democrats I'm talking about, but I'm more concerned about the Democrats. Anyway, they better not throw this election away from the will of the people because there will be consequences. And then I thought, why try to save the system? They're committing the suicide. Let them go ahead. Let them go ahead. As far as money goes, I think people will realize that money won't buy them anything if they can't get any kinds of goods or services from people. So I'm saying it doesn't have to be a violent revolution, but there will be a big change. Now, I don't know if you and I will live to see that change, but it's coming, and it's coming worldwide. And it's going to be tremendous. And people are getting together, and they're organizing. And they have to keep on organizing.
Thank you so much, Jean, for calling today and participating. Thank you.
Okay,
from Philadelphia, Clara, you're on the air.
Peace. I hope you're well, and everyone else is too. It's beautiful here.
Thank you so much.
I'm talking about the weather. I want to respond to your question about the way current events in terms of these elections have shaped my attitudes about politics. Well, one thing that's come clearer, I was aware of it, but it's become so much dramatically clearer, is that the corruption is so widespread. I mean, it seems like it's unworkable. I agree with the people who say reform is out of the question, but I also think that it's so embedded, corruption, deception, disrespect and all the other pejoratives I can use to describe the way the people of this country are being treated, including, I think about Trump's supporters. They don't realize how much contempt, and I've heard it in subtle things that he has said, this contempt for the uneducated. That aside, I agree that this system is on its way down, and it's rapidly falling. As long as the process goes on, the longer a process continues, the more rapidly it progresses. And I want to say, as far as I'm concerned, I don't plan to vote. I'm active. I'm involved in community farming, and while I'm there, I'm doing more education one-on-one. I think it's a waste of my time anyway to try to talk to large numbers of people. Most people turn off. You focus on the people, the individuals, who are interested in change from within. And I know a lot of people find this hard to accept, but I believe that the personal is the political, and one must work from within, strengthening oneself in every way and passing it on individual upon individual. I don't think the salvation of the black community is going to occur as a community because of some of the things you said the other day about the slave mentality, which is so persistent. And you see, it's been embedded in the last 40 years. We were getting out of it, I think, in the 60s. But then the last 40 years, we've been so trampled upon, and our education has been so lacking, and it's been a situation that's been layered and layered and layered. So individuals who are willing and able to strengthen themselves from within and then share that with others, I think will be the answer to facing what's coming after the collapse, which is going to be very harsh and difficult.
Wow. You agree with Jean then. Thank you so much, Clara, for your call today. Let's talk to David from Brooklyn.
Your Chief, I am so happy to talk with you.
Same here.
I want to bring to everyone's attention that I think that Trump is a lightning rod for racism and giving everyone else a pass because he's taking all the the weight for the racism.
He's taking the heat
and
for
ignoring
everybody.
The fact that racism is pervasive and the other candidates are definitely getting a pass on that. So, you know, I think that people ought to think about what's going on and not just put it just on Trump. The other people are involved in racism also. Another thing I think the takeaway message for me and for people who really think that we're dealing with the results of having a faux democracy. And the performance of these two groups that run the democracy, in terms of the parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, and the oligarchs are at the top of that, everybody should take notice of this and understand how this place runs. This is not a state where we have a parliamentary system. This place, when it was formed, was set in place so that certain people could really be at the top and stay there. So, you know, I don't see much future in this. I could not vote for anything that said Republican or Democrat. And the point is that people ought to start thinking about that. It is somewhat interesting to me to see some of the so-called Negro politicians and ministers celebrating Hillary Clinton, and they're acting like, you know, the traditional head Negro in charge at the slave plantation or whatever, you know, and they're talking nonsense to black people about the merits of, for example, somebody like Mrs. Clinton. And, you know, they come across to me as nothing but vassals. And, you know, we ought to think about that. Before you go running around calling yourself a Democrat, for example, in the black community, a party that is run by oligarchs, why are you doing that to yourself? You shouldn't be in something like that. That is nothing that is in your interests. This place does not run in the interests of most of the people. And we have a situation where most of the people are not rich. Most of the people are poor, and they're poor. And we ought to take note of that. And one of the reasons for it, those two parties that run the place want it that way. So people ought to wake up and find out there's no future in Republican or Democrat.
Well, with this observation, David, what then is the choice for you?
Well, the choice for me is, as I said, no voting for Republicans or Democrats. I may go to the polls and make out an absentee ballot for myself or possibly deal with some third-party candidate. I haven't thought about that too much, but definitely nothing for the Republicans or Democrats. The point is that that is, you know, exercise and futility. There's no future in that. When do you get to the point? You can't go around saying the lesser of two evils forever. You got to make some break. So all these people of color, and especially black people, that are going around so, well, you know, the Democrats are better than Republicans and it's not Trump. It's foolish. You can't support either of those two parties. And so that's what I would recommend, that you get away from these people because they are not interested in your welfare and the conditions, and especially the Clintons, with their history. Well, you know, they used to have a saying, birds of a feather flock together, or you know them by the company you keep. Now, how could you be voting for Hillary Clinton with her having been in the White House as the co-president and doing all the things that they did when they were in office in terms of destroying social programs, or also in creating that three strikes you out and all those other laws that had a tremendous impact on people of color? How could you vote for somebody like that? It's beyond me. And saying that, I heard one little Negro saying, oh, well, she didn't have anything to do with it because she wasn't president. That's ridiculous. She's in there with her husband who's president, and he's trying to tell us that she didn't have any influence on these types of laws. So that should be enough for black people who are not sleeping to wake up and say, hey, this woman is a very dangerous person. And all the damage she did when she was in there as Secretary of State, destroying Libya and Honduras and Haiti and all that. Why would anybody with any kind of brain vote for somebody like that? That's out for me. So there's no way that I'm going to get involved in voting for those two parties. And I decided that I'll either vote for myself, or the outside possibility is maybe for one third party candidate. But there's no way to continue this stupid idea of the better of two evils. That is ridiculous.
Thank you for your opinion today and your contribution. We go to Brooklyn. Edna, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon.
I would just like to say I agree with David. I have no intentions of voting. I just think this whole political thing is laissez-faire racism. It's just, I'm just so torn. It's like, who do you vote for? You know, like the earlier caller said, that's from New York. Trump just gets out there and just tells it like it is, to whereas, you know, I'm a Democrat, and I'm looking at Hillary, and I'm looking at Bernie, and I just don't know which direction to go. I'm so confused, to whereas I don't even think I'm going to the polls. And I hate saying that, because I know that my voice makes a difference.
But why are you confused?
I'm confused because there's just so much back and forth. I look at the things that Hillary has done and what she's saying, and then I'm looking at Bernie, and I'm listening, and I'm listening to the debates, and it's like, who do I vote for? You know, who do I trust? Who do I think is going to do the right thing for me in terms of what I'd like to do moving forward with me? So that's why I'm confused.
Let me ask you, do you think the voting process, the whole issue of voting, in any way actually translates into a better life for you as a citizen? Or is it something else? Voting has something to do with something entirely different and not your specific interests?
Well, I think it's more of my having a voice. And if I don't have a voice, I don't feel like I'm going to count. You know, like the last 8 years voting for Barack Obama, I'm not in total agreement with everything that he's done over his term. But I believe that he's done some good things. So it's my having a voice, being able to get out there and say, okay, this is who I'd like to be in the White House for the next 4 years.
Okay, so let me ask, you voted for Barack Obama,
I did,
imagine,
twice.
Both times in 2008, yeah. 2012. Okay, is there something you can point to that is specific in your concern about what you define as your interests that you think he has done, that your vote has enabled him to do?
Well, besides being the first black president, that's not answering the question.
Well, that was for him.
right, yes. But for me, there were a few benefits when I lost my job in 2009 on Wall Street after working 8 years. I was able to get some of the fruits of the labor that was put out there, and I'm just trying to think of getting discounts on COBRA and stuff like that. That helped me during that time. But the bigger picture, that I've got to think about it. I really don't know how to answer that question at this moment.
Well, that's I appreciate that. The point I was trying to make is whether we have an understanding about the value of the vote and the purpose of the vote and the use of the vote, and does voting actually address our specific and unique interests and concerns? And as a person, I mean, you sound like a person wired into the realities of the day, but how do you actually understand your vote or understand the process of voting? What is it supposed to do? What is, you know, I'm not asking you to answer that question, but I'm posing it as a rhetorical question. How do we take another look at this thing called voting? What is it supposed to do? What is our relationship to this thing called government or governance or the process of governing? Or is it just that we give license to a process that we have no participation in? We can't call the terms and conditions. We can't predict the outcome, except that we have no further leverage once we cast a vote. So what does the process mean? What does it mean to us? This is a really important question, I think.
I have to pose that to my students at Mega Average, definitely, because I have to see what they're going to say about it. You know, I know it's a rhetorical question, but it's a good question, and it's something to think about. And maybe I'll bring it back to the table.
And Medgar Evers actually provided part of the answer. He paid with his life for the answer.
Yes.
So we have to, in other words, what I'm saying is we have to construct a meaning for the vote that is relevant to our unique situation in our society. Because it is to be assumed, and it is routinely assumed, that we all have the same interests in voting, or that voting is the same for all of us, and it isn't, and it shouldn't be, because we have entirely different needs, we have entirely different histories, and we have entirely different relationships with the power structure. So,
right.
You know, voting has to be a strategy.
Okay. Fair enough.
Enjoyed you calling in today, Edna. Thank you so much for adding to the conversation.
Let me know how it goes
with your students, what they're thinking.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Very, very incredible thoughts, as usual. And I so enjoy the honor of sharing time with people who are so sincere with what they feel and offer their thoughts for public inspection, which is a very intimate thing to do, and a very brave thing to do. And I thank you for that, because it is a compliment to the program and to each other that we respect each other to the degree that we can be frank and open with what we are thinking. So tomorrow, if you wish, it's up to you. The conversation goes wherever you take it tomorrow on Free Your Mind Friday. So get your brains in gear. Today was just carefully choreographed to address one particular question. Tomorrow the floor is open and you may speak on whatever it is you wish to speak on Free Your Mind Friday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, a great program. You would want to stay tuned for that. The NDC Savings Club. And you can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the program. A pleasure always, and a great privilege to be in your company. Thank you. Bye-bye.